Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome to Land Grant Holy Land's I-70s football show, where we discuss the entire Big Ten from Rutgers to Ohio State. You can catch us every Monday breaking down the major games, storylines, and previewing the next week's slate. If you love the Big Ten, pack a bag, jump in the car, and enjoy the ride. As always, I'm your host, Jordan, here with my co-host, Dante. How you doing, Dante?
What's up, Jordan?
Man, it's a good day. We're recording on Thursday, so unfortunately, there's going to be no recap of the Week 0 games, but we get to preview Week 1 of college football.
Yep. Football came up fast, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, literally, the only bad thing about football coming up this fast is winter is coming.
That would have been scary if this was, like, maybe 10 years ago. To say, but like winter don't really hit us, especially in Columbus, until like December, January.
Yeah, that's true.
And we get maybe 1 or 2 weeks real bad throughout that winter, for real.
No, yeah, that's true. That's one of the weird things about like being in Columbus.
Nah, it's just global warming.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, it's also Columbus though too, because it's colder like in Canton and Cleveland than it is in Columbus.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, Cleveland, of course, because that's where I'm from. We got that lake. So.
Yeah, and Canton gets like the residuals of lake effect snow, so it's colder in Cleveland than Canton, but it's colder in Cleveland and Canton than it is in Columbus.
Columbus, yeah, we'll still get sunlight in like 50, 60 degrees here sometimes.
Facts. I remember when we were in school, my girlfriend, who's now my fiance, she would leave Kent and it would be snowing, it would be cold. She would get to Columbus and it's like 15 degrees warmer, the sun's out, it's not snowing at all.
That's really crazy.
No, like that's stupid. And I'm sitting in like Kent and they're Kent freezing, like
falling. they didn't salt anything.
No, they never salted at all.
Shout out to Kent. Causing nothing but bruised tailbones for 4 years.
Oh, God. Especially for everyone who wouldn't buy real boots.
I'm everyone.
I don't buy boots, but I know how to walk in the snow. Like, if you're walking around in Uggs that you didn't treat, like...
It don't matter what you do to Uggs, for real. That salt's just going to kill them.
That's facts.
That salt's going to kill them. I was walking around in like tennis shoes and got no soles at the bottom. So I was really asking for it. But at the same time, they could have put some salt down.
Yeah, the biggest problem is they would try to what is it called? They would try to plow it, but the
and just pack on top of
it. Literally, like the plow sucked. So it literally just packed up on top of it, and then it just created this like major sheet of ice.
It would just cause the craziest amount of ice.
Shout out to Kent State's facilities for not caring about the people who had to walk to class, because they never canceled class either. So
yeah, no, nah, it had too many Starbucks that needed to sell coffee, so you know it wasn't. You cancel the class.
Not in the slightest. All right, so let's get in the podcast. So like I mentioned, we're talking week one college football, real football. There's going to be games. This is the last podcast where we're not recapping games two. So we're not talking about the games that we watched. And so we're really about to get into this thing. Huge shout out to everyone that's been following us so far and been listening. Our listener numbers have been pretty good, so we appreciate that. We're trying to get up.
We really do.
Yeah, we definitely just trying to grow. So I thought it would be cool. We thought it'd be cool to start with a topic that's not super analytical. Just kind of what we're excited about for football season. What are some of the overall storylines that we're excited for? Whether it's teams, whether it's players, just football in general. So, Dante, if you want to start, what are some things that got you excited about football season?
In general, or just are we still in college?
It could be in general, but college too.
Okay. I'm not gonna lie. I am excited to see this starting quarterback for Ohio State. I'm also excited to see what other teams can do, not only like other teams in the Big Ten, but not just the Big Ten, but SEC, ACC. This is a potential to knock Clemson off their high horse in the ACC.
I mean, so I've already said it. I'm not big on Clemson this year, so.
Watch they still make the playoffs.
I actually don't think they will.
I hope they don't. I hope they don't.
it's gonna be an uphill battle because I have them beating Georgia. If they lose, I'm sorry, I have them losing to Georgia.
Okay.
If they beat Georgia, I think they're in because they're not gonna lose two games in the ACC.
Nah, no. So and it's sad because like I said, I was excited to see what the ACC can be, see if somebody could knock them off, but I don't think any team is strong enough. While I don't like Dabo, he coaches that team well.
Yeah.
Sadly. So
not sadly.
Sadly. No, seriously. He's not supposed to be coaching.
No,
that's a storyline because like he definitely said he was gonna quit his job and he's still here. So like it's really nice to see if a reporter will call him out on that.
They're not going to. I need a fire Dabo t-shirt or quit Dabo or Dabo quit. Somebody that's better with words than me, think of like a funny way to say that Dabo, you should have quit.
Yeah.
I'll buy the t-shirt.
Yeah. That's at a reasonable price. Don't be like $600 because then I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
You went to $600. I was thinking $45. Like, that's got to be like a $30, $35 t-shirt.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Make it like, I don't like the Clemson's colors either, so make it like black and gray, but like you could put like the Clemson paw or something, or like the little fire dapple in the Clemson orange, but I'm not wearing that orange shirt. Like I'm not wearing an all orange shirt.
That's fair.
So if anyone that's listening makes t-shirts, you know what I'm saying? I would buy one. You heard it here first on the I-70 football show.
He's not the only one. I definitely would buy one too. I might tweet it every other day. Like he should be gone. Like, so, he was not supposed to be here.
No, he's supposed to be up through making everybody happy. I think some of the storylines that I'm looking forward to. I think one of the biggest ones I'm looking forward to is Georgia. I've really been, hyping up Georgia. I think this is their year. Not that many people think that, which is fine. I get it. That's like saying this is Wisconsin's year in the Big Ten and when Ohio State still exists. Like, but I do think that this is Georgia's year. I'm also excited to see Oklahoma.
I was going to say that too.
Yeah, not because I like watching Oklahoma, because I don't, but everyone's talking about Oklahoma's defense.
Yeah.
Like, supposedly their defense is really, really good. They're saying that they have players on their roster who would play at the Alabamas, Ohio States, and Clemsons, which they've never had before. So I do think their offense takes a slight step back, but if their defense takes that big of a step up, it evens out. So I'm excited to see Oklahoma. I'm excited to see Iowa State. If this is finally going to be the year that they beat Iowa, if this is the year they beat Oklahoma, I think
Iowa and Iowa State are both ranked, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And unless one of them loses in week one, well, I have Iowa losing in week one, but they should still be ranked. And because
they won't be ranked that high, but they won't drop that far. They'll still be in the 20s.
Because that game is week two, right? Yep.
Yeah.
Man.
Wow, that's really early.
Yeah.
Isn't that a rivalry?
Mm-hmm.
But since isn't that during that week though? Usually this game.
What do you mean?
Iowa versus Iowa State. Isn't that during rivalry week or no? And I, guys, don't kill me for pronouncing that wrong. My mouth just can't get it right. I don't know why.
I don't know. I don't think so, because Iowa State's not in the Big Ten. I think,
yeah, but like not every school's rival is in their conference during that week.
Hmm. I don't know. I've never paid that much attention to it, because Iowa State is typically not good and it's not that good of a game. But
I have to make sure about that now, because I feel like that's usually later in the season, but I might be wrong.
I mean, it would make sense for them to be later in the season. But
That sucks. I thought that would be later. What, week two? Okay, well, that'll be fun to talk about.
No, I'm looking at the schedule prediction. I'm low-key tripping. I got Iowa losing to Kent State. That's not going to happen. Why you let me do that?
I said it several times when we talked about Iowa that I didn't understand what you were talking about. Like, I get that you were really high on Kent winning the MAC, but that's still nothing compared to having to go against a Big Ten school who's ranked 18 right now? 18 at before stuff starts.
Yeah, I was tripping.
I kept saying it. But like, I know you love our school, but come on.
I was really tripping.
Come on. They have to play defense.
I mean, not really against Iowa.
Yeah, you do. You still have to stop their run. Come on, man. I couldn't believe it. Like, you really said Kent State was going to win that game.
Looking back at it, that was a mistake.
I can't believe it took you to what is this, week five?
Yeah.
This is our fifth episode?
Yeah.
And you finally understand that whatever you were trying to say. Don't Kent. Hold up. I'm sorry. Because now I have to see. Because Kent plays two teams in the Big Ten, right?
Yeah.
And you got them winning both those games.
Do I? No, I don't. Who else do they play?
Yeah. You got them. They play Maryland, and you got them beating Maryland.
I believe that one. I might take back Iowa, but I believe that one.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
It's almost the exact. They back to back. You a liar, bro. Like, they're going to lose both of those games. The 18th and then the 25th. Yeah.
Who made that schedule for Kent? That is so foul. That's disrespectful.
They need that money. What you mean? They're money games.
True. But Iowa is another one that I'm looking forward to. And we're going to talk about this a little bit, but everyone's really high on Iowa. You know, I was just listening to a Big Ten podcast, and they were talking about, you know, Iowa being, you know, the second or third best team in the Big Ten. They're talking about Iowa, you know, potentially beating Wisconsin, talking about this is a year. Well, a bunch of people have this feeling that Ohio State is vulnerable, which I disagree with.
But like the most vulnerable they've been in a few years. Since before Urban. It was probably the last time they were vulnerable.
No, they were probably more vulnerable in some Urban years. At least one of them.
When? When we all thought Penn State was going to do it and then they ended up blowing them out. Well, that year? I think it was like later in the, in the fourth quarter they just took off.
Well, you can't say they weren't vulnerable because they lost to Michigan State one year. They lost to Iowa.
But they were still in the playoffs. They weren't vulnerable. They just lost the game. I think when they talk about vulnerable, it's losing the Big Ten. They lost that Michigan State game off like some like fluke stuff, right?
No.
They lost that game.
Yeah. They lost that game because of bad coaching, but they lost that game.
Okay, that's right, because the fluke win was against Michigan, and I might even be going further back than the season you're talking about.
And they lost against Iowa, and they lost against Purdue. Urban's teams were vulnerable.
Yeah, but they would lose. You're saying that like those losses happen in the same season. Those happen in different seasons.
Right, because OSU is never going to lose more than a game a season.
So that's not vulnerable.
That's the point.
That's just a hiccup.
Yeah, but people are saying that this is the year that Ohio State may be vulnerable.
And when I think when they say that, it's like losing the Big Ten, losing more than one game. Like you're probably talking about like the same when what you're bringing up is just, you know, a little slip. It's like a slip of the brain, like they took it easy. That's not vulnerable. That's just playing lower to your standards.
But if that's not vulnerable, then Ohio State has never been vulnerable.
There has been times.
When? If those ones don't count, when are they? When have they been vulnerable?
I can't see losing to Purdue and then blowing out the next few games after that on the way to the playoffs as vulnerable. That's just I'm bored and this is Purdue.
Okay, so in that instance, Ohio State hasn't been vulnerable, and they're also not vulnerable this year.
Probably not.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. Like, people are saying that Ohio State might be vulnerable, and
they've said that a few times, and nothing really happened. Like, because they're like they're vulnerable. Because I think one of the years you're talking about is when I remember they went against Penn State, and everybody was really, really high on Penn State winning the Big Ten that year. And they were saying that Ohio State was vulnerable, and I think they lost the game. They came into that Penn State game and made Penn State look worse than the team that they lost to. So it's like,
I know, but me and you were saying the same thing.
Yeah,
I only brought that up to say that
who's supposed to win the Big Ten? Then
that's what I'm saying. People are saying that Iowa could win the Big Ten, but that's what I'm saying because me and you don't have them that high. So that's what I'm saying. That's one of the things that I'm interested in because I want to watch Iowa and see why people are so high on them. Because not that I think they're going to be bad, but also they have a really hard schedule.
They got a tough schedule. And if they're supposed to be that good where they could win, that means you're telling me they beat Indiana.
And they beat Wisconsin. And they beating Indiana and Wisconsin is
because the country thinks Indiana is a better team, but Iowa has a chance to win the Big Ten. Why not Indiana?
You're asking the question. Like, that's why this is on my things that I'm excited to watch because I don't understand it. Because
then because you should be excited for Indiana, should be excited for Wisconsin. Because if Ohio State is that vulnerable, then a lot of these schools in the Big Ten are going to be really fun to watch. Maybe even Michigan.
No. Too far. Stop it. This is a serious podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry, my bad.
We crack jokes, but that's too far. Okay.
I barely got it out without smiling. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Is there anything else that has you excited, looking forward to?
I'm actually excited to see my Steelers defense this year. Okay. I'm going to take it to the NFL for a quick second. I was really excited. I think we had one of the best defenses last year. And guess we can. But I think we're gonna. Here we go. I think they're gonna build on that. We got a few people in trades and stuff, like a few linebackers, and then we still got, I think, one of the best edge rushers in the game, TJ. So I'm excited to see that defense this year. I plan on getting me a Joe Hayden jersey. Not gonna lie to you guys.
Yeah, I think the Steelers are gonna be interesting. If we're talking about the NFL, that division is gonna be interesting.
Yes,
the Steelers, Browns, and Ravens. Like,
yes, man. With Cincinnati might, and the thing is, Cincinnati might beat one of us, and I'm keeping all three in that conversation to ruin one of the seasons.
I could see it.
Cincinnati might ruin one of our seasons. I don't know which team, but they're gonna ruin one.
No, I could definitely see it.
Okay, so I'm also excited to see the NFC East because I like watching train wrecks. So I want to see the Cowboys be terrible. I think Washington will win that division behind, and then the next will be the New York Giants. I think Philly's going to be bad.
Washington is going to win that division at like. There's 17 games now.
Seven and ten.
Seven and ten. That's going to be so foul. But Chase Young's going to have like 10 and a half sacks.
I can see that. I can see that. Yeah. Those are the only things story wise that I'm actually excited to see. Because the Cowboys are on Hard Knocks. Mm. So like, I can't wait for them to be like one of the worst teams in that division. Because I don't know if you understand what's going on with Dak, but he got a baseball pitcher injury kind of going on.
So they're going to pretend that he can throw and play the whole season?
Oh, yeah. He's supposed to start week one.
I want to caution this because I don't wish injury on anyone, but Dak is clearly injured. McCarthy is terrible. Mm-hmm. Over under 6 weeks before he's out for the season.
Dak?
Mm-hmm. If he's trying to play,
because they also are getting two or maybe three of that like that stout offensive line from like a few years ago back from injuries, and so they're coming back and they're supposed to be looking good and looking healthy. So I think that offensive line is going to be one of the good ones. I just think their defense. I think their defense is what's going to be the reason why they stink.
No, I'm not even saying that. I'm saying over under six games before Dak is on IR. Like, if he's dealing with that and they're still going to try to have him play and throw the ball.
They saying he looks fine. I don't believe it.
That's what I'm saying. What do you think he'll play the whole season? Most of the season?
I think most. I think he might play most. Because I think the line's going to keep him upright. And I think eventually his arm will, like, heal in a way. Because it's supposably better. Like, he hasn't played a preseason. No. He hasn't played at all.
I've seen this with Andrew Luck. I don't believe it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't believe it.
You have experience.
I hope it's not – I hope I'm wrong. I don't wish injury on nobody.
Yeah.
Dak just got the bag. Like, I think he's a good quarterback. I want him to be there. But – a shoulder injury for a quarterback?
I don't even think it's shoulder. It's like elbow.
That's even worse.
Yeah, and it's just from throwing because he wasn't using his lower body. So it's like it's a baseball injury somehow. It's like what pitchers get because there's no way for quarterbacks to get it because of the way you throw the ball.
Right.
So it's really weird.
No, that's weird. I hope they are smart by him because that's the type of thing that can end your career.
You hope Dallas? You hope Jerry Jones is smart by him?
All right, next topic. Let's talk about the Big Ten. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and start previewing these games. We're going to go at least this week because they're on different days.
Yeah.
We're going to go in order of the way you're going to see the games. So this is not like a ranking of which ones are our favorite or anything. We're going to start with Minnesota versus Ohio State because that's a Thursday game. It's going to be the first game of week one. I think, you know, I like how we did it last week. Kind of talking about what we think is going to happen. First of all, what we want to see from both teams. Like what both teams need to see for their coaches, players, and fans to be happy about the season. And then finally, we can remind everyone who we had winning. Minnesota versus Ohio State is interesting to me, mainly because one of the things that Minnesota is really, really good at can be a weakness for a lot of teams in week one.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota is really good at running the ball.
Yeah, and it's really good to have to start the season is a really good running game.
Because the hardest thing to get together is the passing game.
Yep, and you can establish an identity very early on
but in the season. And the other thing, what's the hardest thing to do on defense week one?
Stop the run.
Because you can't tackle.
Yeah, because you haven't tackled for real in months.
Tackling is always bad week one. And on top of that, Minnesota has – I would say a top three or four offensive line in the Big Ten. And
in the country, maybe.
I wouldn't say top three or four in the country. I would say
one of the top, though.
Yeah, like top 10 to 12 in the country, top three or four in the Big Ten, and the best running back in the Big Ten, and a top 3 to 5 running back in the country. So I'm not predicting that Minnesota is going to win, but they have a really good chance to make this an ugly game.
And it still won't be that. It'll be ugly in like Ohio State standards, but it won't be ugly. It's still going to be a decisive win. Ohio State will have a double digit win, I believe. But it's going to look, if you watch the game, it'll look closer than the score is going to put out.
I can see that. I think that's a fair way to put it. Yeah. Obviously the storyline, you can't just not talk about it, is Ohio State's breaking in a new quarterback.
Yep.
I think if you ask most teams and most quarterbacks, they would like to be broken in against Akron.
Yeah.
Minnesota's not great, but they're formidable, and that's going to be a tough game. I mean, thankfully.
It's just hard to start your career against a conference.
Yeah. No matter what, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I think CJ Stroud is going to be good on the Buck Off podcast. The other one I do for Land Grant Holy Land, I said I think CJ Stroud is going to be a top three contender for the Heisman. I think he's going to get. I think he's going to get invited to New York and be on the stage. I think he's going to be really good. Everything I've heard about him is he's really good, and I think we talked about it. You know, quarterbacks nowadays are so advanced, and he has a year in the program under Ryan Day, who's one of the best quarterbacks. I think he's going to be good, but also I don't think the quarterbacks in the rest of the country are that good.
Okay.
Like we lost all the really good quarterbacks.
That's why I think, because what last year you had two receivers, right, up there, I believe, or two offensive players that weren't quarterbacks in the Heisman finalists. Correct? Or was it three quarterbacks and then Deontay Smith?
Maybe it was that. Because it was definitely Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence. Was Kyle Trask up there, though?
I can't remember.
No, Kyle Trask may have been up there, but I'm thinking of
Because I know. I'm sorry. Mac Jones was up there. Because I remember there was like two or three Alabama players that were, I'm gonna have to look this up now. Heisman finalists.
Oh yeah, it was Devontae Smith, Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, Kyle Trask, Najee Harris. That was the top five.
That's right. Yeah, because Najee Harris was up there too. So they did have two. I think this Heisman, and I wanted to kind of stay that way. I think this Heisman Wow, Cam Newton's been in the league for 11 years now. I think this Heisman race will have more skilled players than quarterbacks. I'm kind of hoping it goes that way because we had the two different. We had the running back and the receiver. I think the skilled players will get a lot more credit for how good teams and quarterbacks look.
I don't disagree with that. I also think the quarterbacks this year are just not that good.
I mean, we
lost Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Kyle Trask. All of them are gone. And I think most of them, maybe not Kyle Trask, but I think most of them, if one of them would have come back, they would have been the best quarterback in college football. I'm not that high on Spencer Rattler. Not that he's not good, and he's going to be a draft pick, but I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's on a level of Justin Fields, any of them people, right?
Okay.
I'm not that high on Sam Howell. Again, same thing. He's good, but I don't think he's on a level of some of the quarterbacks we typically have coming back. So for me, that means I think we could have multiple first. I think, you know, we could have CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, and DJ Uiagalelei, all first year quarterbacks in the Heisman, because I think all of them are better than the returners.
Okay. I can see that. I'm looking at these past Heisman winners. I did not know Carson Palmer was a Heisman winner.
What?
2002?
Okay.
Yeah, I did not know that. That's actually kind of crazy. They still got Reggie Bush up here. That's nice. Because I know they took it away from him.
No, this is crazy. USC had three Heisman winners in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I did know Carson Palmer was a Heisman winner because I knew they had three in 4 years. I just forgot because I was seven in 2002.
Yeah. No, that just kind of threw me off because it's like Johnny Manziel's Heisman is already 10 years ago. That was 10 years ago.
Good Lord. Okay, can we talk about something else? This is just making me feel old. So is there anything else that you're looking forward to in this Minnesota versus Ohio State game?
I'm excited to see this running back.
For Minnesota or Ohio State? Yeah.
Minnesota. I'm excited to see what he can do against Ohio State. A defense like that, you know?
No, I agree. I agree. What do you think is a good game for Minnesota?
21 points.
That's fair.
Against Ohio State, 21 to 24 or 5 points.
So you think a 42-17? That's 24, right?
No, I'm not the spread. I'm talking about points put up.
Like they scored.
Yes.
So three touchdowns.
Yeah, just about. Yeah.
I think that's fair. I also think that's doable. I mean,
because I know Ohio State might put up like 4 or 5, and that'll be the why it looks bad. Yeah. But it'd be early. They'll get those late, something like that, like late third, more in the fourth.
So if the game is like that, I agree 100%. If the game shapes out like that, where Ohio State pulls away in the third or fourth, that's a really good game for Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Because there are multiple years where Ohio State is playing their backups in the second half.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying. If they don't have to do that, Ohio State don't have to go, okay, y'all suck, let's just go on and put other people in, then that's a good game. That's a good game for Minnesota. I want to see Minnesota control the clock a lot, make it scary for Ohio State where they have to put up points fast, because that's how Alabama and Clemson have beaten Ohio State. They control the clock and put up points. And then Ohio State has to do it fast, which puts them in a situation where they could make a mistake.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I definitely get that. I'm interested to see. The last thing I think I'd say about this game, I'm interested to see their offensive line versus Ohio State's defensive line. Mm-hmm. Ohio State's defensive line really has some work to do. Mm-hmm. You know, last year, I think we mentioned it before, they were getting pressure, but they weren't getting sacks. Well, Minnesota has a 6'9", 400-pound tackle, you know, so I want to see how they shape up. Yeah. And Minnesota's quarterback is not very mobile. Mm-hmm. So if Ohio State's offensive line is good, they should have 3 or 4 sacks this game.
Yeah.
Even though Minnesota's is good, you know, if you are as dominant, it, like people are predicting that they have multiple first round picks on their defensive line, you still need to win that battle.
Yeah.
And with a quarterback who's not very mobile, you should be able to get 3 to 5 sacks. Whereas, you know, against some other teams where he can run some things like that, you may stop, that may stop some of those sacks.
And like how you were saying that, like, a new starting quarterback wants to go against like Akron, I feel like this is a good start test for Ohio State's defensive line.
Yeah, I think this is a good start for everything for Ohio State. I just think it's not preferred.
I mean, no one wants to. No one wants to. A tough one to start, but schools, it's your Ohio State.
Yeah, but
you kind of gotta do it, you know.
And with that, they do, you know, we've talked about Oregon, but, you know, they do play them week 2.
Yeah.
So it's much better to play in Minnesota than it is to play in Akron.
Yeah.
To get ready to play Oregon, because Oregon is going to be good.
Are they?
Good enough. Like, this Ohio State game could be the only game Oregon loses.
Okay.
Honestly.
I think they might lose. They could lose to Oregon State.
Let me rephrase that. It should be the only game that Oregon loses.
I'm pretty sure they have to play them. So
Oregon always loses a game they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Oregon,
they're small on defense a lot of the time because they love speed. So, it, like when you go against teams who could, you know, run the ball for real, and beat up on you for 3 quarters.
Yeah, but they don't really have that issue now.
Okay.
Not as much. I mean, because they have Kayvon Thibodeau and
true.
What is Penei Sewell's little brother's name? They have 2 really good linebackers. Because they have Penei Sewell's little brother, mm-hmm. and then they have like Justin Flo or something like that, who's a 5-star linebacker.
Okay.
Their biggest thing, like a lot of
are they young? These are freshmen, though.
The 5-star linebacker may be a freshman.
Okay.
Penei Sewell's little brother's not. Okay. And Kayvon Thibodeau is a junior.
All right. Okay.
They have players, but they don't have, and we'll get more into this when that game comes up.
Right.
They have players, they don't have depth. That's right. What a lot of teams have. But Oregon should be better. And they're good enough of a test that you don't want to play them off of nobody.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. Awesome. So the next game that we're going to talk about is Michigan State versus Northwestern.
I can't lie. I'm not that interested. I'm just not. We just needed something to talk about. I'm not.
I'm interested in this game, but not really for viewing purposes. I think this
football.
Game, well, not even just football. I think this game has some good storylines. Like, Michigan State, we talked about it. I'm not the biggest fan of Michigan State's head coach, but a lot of people do like him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of those games, especially because a lot of people are predicting that Northwestern is going to go down a little bit. This is a game that Michigan State could win, probably won't.
Would it be a steal if they won this game? Or is it evenly matched where it just each team would be nice to get a win out of this?
I don't think it's evenly matched, but I don't think it's a big upset.
Okay.
Because of how many people that Northwestern lost. We talked about Northwestern, and I'm sure obviously we'll talk about them more, but one of the things with Northwestern is we're not so sure that they're going to be good. Their schedule is just very easy.
Yeah.
And so this is a game that they should win. But
could you see Northwestern, if they finished the year really good, their record being not really representing what their team is because of such an easy schedule? Not, I wouldn't say that easy, but easy enough.
They have one of the easiest schedules in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So what is your question?
Like, if they finish the season good, even make it to a bowl game, do you think it won't fully represent how good their team, like their level of talent the team really is?
Like, you think they'll win games, but they're not as good as their record shows.
That thing, I finally got it.
Yeah, no, I think so.
Okay.
I think that they're going to have a good record. They may win 9 games, but I don't think they're a 9-win team.
Okay.
So we're trying to get through this episode. It's almost 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
And someone's cutting grass.
Cutting or like using a leaf blower.
It's 9 PM on a Thursday. So if the sound is not great, we apologize.
I'm trying to
power through it. I like this one off the storyline because this is a game where you want to see growth. From Michigan State,
even Northwestern, honestly.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, you want to see Northwestern bounce back because, as a Northwestern fan, you have to be tired of almost winning the Big Ten and then winning 2 or 3 games the next year. So, as a Northwestern fan, you want them to win 8 or 9 games. As a Michigan State fan, you were the pesky team that won some games that you probably shouldn't have last year. You want to see some actual growth. Yeah. And this is a game that they could win. You know, no one's going to predict. Like, this and Michigan are games where, like, yeah, maybe the teams have more talent. But if you're better coached, if you're recruiting the way you're supposed to, some of the transfers that they brought in, these are games that they can win. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call them full upsets, but they're like trap games.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I see what you mean.
And so that's why I'm interested in it. I don't think it's going to be a great game to watch, but this could be a game like we always talk about, because I just think it's an interesting perspective. We always say, what do the fans want to see to be happy about this game, win or lose? Hmm. What happens if this is a 21-17 game? What happens if this is a 24-21 game and Northwestern has to win in the fourth quarter?
Now, if it's close and hard fought, Even while being sloppy, because I do believe it's going to be a sloppy game, but if it's close and hard fought, then I feel like both teams, both fans, should come out of there happy, because you didn't just if you tighten some stuff up, there's going to be something there that you can fix. Like, you might have something to build upon instead of just looking like, oh, this is going to be a wash season.
Right, and the best part about week one is that everyone starts with optimism.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about this game because I think it's interesting. I'm not telling people, like, you have to watch this game. Well, first of all,
I mean, what else are you going to watch?
It's a Friday night game at 9 p.m., so there may not be anything else on. So maybe I am telling you to watch it. Maybe I am telling you to watch it.
I'm telling you to watch it.
I just think it's going to be the game and the storylines are going to be more interesting than what you see on the field, maybe.
Okay.
And that's the beauty of college football. I think that there's going to be a lot of stuff that you could learn about both teams. The other thing with Northwestern is people who, like, really, really follow Northwestern, so, like, their beat reporters and things like that, they think that this is one of the more talented teams Northwestern's had. They're just young.
Yep.
If that's the case, that'll show in this game.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Especially after the weird season of last year, most schools, and I'm just going to go out on a limb and say every school's fans should be patient till about week 3 or 4. It's going to look ugly. It's going to look sloppy. You're going to be like, what are we doing? What's going on? Because it's going to be getting back into, like, regular form and a lot of testing.
Yep. And, you know, there are some teams that are, like, really, really old because of, like, the extra year and stuff like that. But Northwestern's not one of them. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be a good game. But also another thing, as you know, we're moving through it. If Northwestern blows out Michigan State, this could be one of those things where it's like, okay, maybe they're not going to have a down year. Maybe this is one of their more talented teams and they're young.
If that happens, if I was Michigan State fans, I'd be a little worried.
That's exactly my point. Like, there's a lot.
Even the other way around, if Northwestern gets blown out, I'd still be a little worried. Even being young, I'd still be a little worried.
I mean, honestly, in my opinion, if Northwestern doesn't win by two touchdowns, I'd be a little worried.
Hmm. I think I have Michigan State winning that game.
Do you?
I do not. I lied. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, that's pretty bold of you.
It is. It would have been bold. Oh, yeah, no. That's right. You got them going 2-10.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But that's the fun thing about talking about it is, like, I have my opinions, and I chose my records, but at the end of the day, none of that matters. They have to play the games.
Yep.
So we forgot to do this with Ohio State Minnesota, but I think everyone knows where we stood. Who do you have officially winning this game?
Northwestern.
Same. Yeah. I have Northwestern. Do you have, like, a score prediction, thoughts? Is it going to be a close game?
Because I know college, even with it being sloppy, you could still put up 40 points in a college football game. Both teams, I think this might be like 30, 20, 28, 27, something like that.
We're going in the totally opposite direction.
Oh, nah, you don't have a high scoring game.
No.
Ah.
I have this like, it's going to be, if it's a close game, it's going to be like 24-20.
That's still pretty high. Okay.
If it's a close game, it'll be 24-20. If it's a quote-unquote blowout, it'll be like 24-3. I don't see either team hitting 30. Not in this game.
24-3?
Yeah.
You don't think Michigan State could put up a touchdown against Northwestern if it's a blowout?
I don't think this is going to be a high-scoring game.
Okay.
I think it's going to be either 24-20-ish or 20-3. Like 24-3, maybe like 24-9, something like that.
Ooh, Northwestern, three straight field goals.
Northwestern, okay. Northwestern has a good defense. Yeah. That's one thing that they should have regardless. So
okay.
I'm not sure that I'm predicting Michigan State to put up touchdowns.
Fair enough.
I just know I'm not predicting Northwestern to score 30 points. Win or lose. Win or lose, I don't have them putting
up 30. I don't know. I think the first few weeks is going to be really hard for defenses. I've seen it before. I've watched enough football to see that this kind of season, there's going to be a lot of scoring. A lot of scoring, even by bad teams.
I hear you. I do. And I agree. Just not with either of these two.
All right.
This next game that we're talking about, if you told me this is going to be like a 45-41, I got you. I believe you.
It's all, but the thing is, but even in the next game, if you told me 17-10, I'd believe you.
This is going to be so fun. I don't know what the hell is going to happen. We're just here talking. Y'all are listening to us, but nobody knows what's going to happen. That's the beauty of college football. That's really the beauty of the Big Ten. So before we get into our next couple of games, we are going to go ahead and take a quick break for our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Welcome back to the I-70 Football Show. We have a couple more games to talk about today. And we have some highlights. Honestly, not even a big thing. I think these are two of the best games in all of college football.
Like, even, like, throughout the season.
Yeah. And here's the best part.
The start of the season. That's exciting. That is exciting.
The best part is they're week one, and they're back-to-back.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, Penn State's at 12, and then Iowa, Indiana is at 3:30.
Yeah, right. You can't even take your nap.
Nap? You nap on Saturdays?
I nap on both days. There's one game I will nap through the first half of.
No, I get my naps in on Fridays.
Because this is like on Sundays during the NFL game, that 4:30 game, I'll sleep through that first half.
That's because that 4:30 game is almost always terrible. It's not even that it's almost always terrible.
No, because it's like I don't want to watch Green Bay versus Detroit.
That's what I was going to say. It's not even that it's always terrible. It's just never the game you actually want to watch.
At all.
Like, no matter the part of the country it is, the game that you want to watch, they know it. And they're like, nah.
Because it would be like, I remember one time they definitely put on Green Bay and Detroit, where it was like Dallas and Detroit, and I couldn't believe it. And the game that I wanted to see, it was like Kansas City. I think it was Kansas City versus the Chargers or something. And I was like, that's a much more exciting game, guys. What are we doing here?
No, we live in Ohio. There's literally going to be like a Steelers-Ravens game at 4:25, and they're going to have us watching like
Cincinnati versus like
the 49ers or something.
Bro, you're like, yo, I don't want to watch this. Like, who, like, bro? Because it's like, there's in my eyes as a, like a network. To get people to watch, I want people to watch my network. There's no way I'm going to put Cincinnati on over Pittsburgh versus Baltimore.
They don't care. It's the epitome of you're going to eat what we give you.
Like, and that's really crazy because, like, no, I'm not. I'm going to take this nap. Like
you're going to accept it.
Because, like, I remember one time that happened. Because then the next game, it was either watch that game or watch Arizona versus Seattle. And I was like, no. So I just changed the channel and took a nap. No.
And if anyone wants to know why I think college football is better than the NFL, a part of it is you can watch every game that you want to watch, especially if you get a good like TV service or like you use someone else's cable for like the apps and stuff. You can never watch the NFL games that you want to watch. I'm not going to go on
that rant. NFL Network, man. Who the hell?
No one. I'm not even going to go on that rant today. Let's talk about some good games. So let's start with Wisconsin versus Penn State. If you listened to last week's episode, you know that we have Wisconsin going undefeated and playing Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship game, which means if you can do the math, you know what we think is going to happen in this game. But regardless of what we think is going to happen, they have to play the game.
Yeah.
And this game,
it's a good game.
This game is going to be exciting.
19 versus 12 at 12.
This game is going to be exciting. Plus, there's fans. We haven't mentioned that yet, and I think we're doing a bad job by not mentioning it. This is week one. With fans.
Ooh. Penn State gonna lose for real, for real. Not bad, but it's gonna be an L. It's definitely gonna be an L.
This is gonna be it's gonna be a fist fight. This is gonna be so fun.
That's gonna be a really fun game. I'm happy they're back to back, but I am pissed because I already said that. Like, that's when I take my nap. Because I'm either gonna have brunch to watch that first game, this Wisconsin. Penn State game, and then definitely want to nap when that game is over with because I had brunch. But
you're gonna have to miss that. You're gonna have to go to bed early. You're just gonna have to miss that late game, take a nap, and wake up for Pac-12 after dark because you can't miss either of these games.
Yeah, no, I'm okay. I'm truly okay with not watching the rest of this slate, at least for the Big Ten. I'm completely cool.
No, so, all right, let's get into it. Let's deep dive a little bit. So, we talked about it. Wisconsin finally has a quarterback who's respectable in Graham Mertz. They have a running back who at least currently hasn't matched up to their legendary stable of running backs, but he's far from a scrub. Mm-hmm. A ridiculous returning offensive line. They finally have cornerbacks, which we talked about, so We don't have to redo the whole thing. You can listen to last time's episode. They're going to be good. Indiana, Penn State, I'm sorry. Penn State is coming off of a year where nothing went right for them.
Nothing. That's why I'm very confused as to why they're ranked 19th. It's not like they're bad, but it's just, I think 19's still kind of high.
I think 19 is low for the team that Penn State has. Okay. I think Penn State got 19. I get why you're saying 19 is high, because it's a little bit of a respect factor. But if Penn State would have been who they were supposed to be last year,
that's what I'm saying.
Like top 15.
That's what I'm saying. They weren't who they were supposed to be in a ranked 19.
I think it's a respect factor.
Okay.
And like we talked about it, the pandemic, everything that they lost, I think they're like, we can't rank them higher than 19 because they were bad last year. But once you get to 20 to 25, that's where you get group of five teams and things like that. I think it's just a respect factor.
Okay.
Because there are teams that at Penn State's who they're supposed to be. There are teams who are ranked ahead of them that Penn State's going to beat. So, well, not going to beat because they're not going to play them, but would be. So Penn State, you know, is coming off that tough season. They still have Jahan Dotson.
Yep.
They're bringing back a lot of their running backs who opted out or got injured last year. Not a biggest fan of their quarterback, but one thing I think that, you know, I think is important.
You don't have to be great if you can run the ball.
That is true. That is very true. So that is something to state. I just don't see. We talked about it. I struggle with this sometimes because I want to like re-say things that we've already said when we really want to talk about the games. And especially with week one, because we haven't seen them, it's kind of hard to be like, oh, we've seen this and that. I just don't see how Penn State's going to be bad this year.
Right.
I think they're unfortunate in some of their schedule. Like,
especially like this game.
Yeah. Like, get Wisconsin as a crossover game. Nobody wants that.
To start the season, at least.
Like, that's almost unfair.
Yeah. It's just as unfair as the game right after, really.
Yeah.
And Iowa for both teams, really.
Yeah. But I think Penn State is going to bounce back. You know, there is a lot of questions of are they going to bounce back or was last year indicative of something? And I just don't think it is. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it is indicative of anything. I just think that they were hit hardest from the pandemic.
They had one, like, and I think we said that, we mentioned it before. They had, they're like one of the teams that had some of the most people that opted out, correct?
A lot of people opted out. Right. And really their best players. The other thing that is interesting is they have another offensive coordinator. I think with Penn State, this is their third offensive coordinator in 3 years.
That's not good.
No. So as much as negative as I am about their quarterback sometime, we do have to admit that he hasn't really gotten a fair shot.
Yeah, he's not getting – he has no consistency in that regard or offensive coordinator. So it's almost starting a whole new season, system each season.
Yeah, and this is the fifth offensive coordinator in 8 years.
Oh,
obviously, man. That doesn't affect
there's
the players.
There's no consistency. Yeah. There's no stability in that.
No. And obviously that doesn't affect the current players as much because no one's been on the roster for 8 years.
Right.
But the ones that have had three coordinators in 3 years.
There's somebody there who's seen somebody new for the past 3 years.
The quarterback mainly.
Yeah. And that doesn't build stability at all.
No, not at all. The one thing that's going to be really interesting to watch is they got the coordinator that they wanted, though. Mm-hmm. They have Mike Yurich, who was at Ohio State, then he was at Texas. You know, there was a bunch of rumors and a bunch of statements out that they wanted him last year, and he wasn't available. Mm-hmm. So they went and got Kirk Shiraka from Minnesota. It didn't work out. Well, all of Texas's staff got fired.
Right.
So they got the guy that they wanted a year late. So it'll be interesting to see if that makes their offense better, if it actually clicks, if he can get something out of that team that none of the other quarterbacks could get.
It could be a scary game for Wisconsin.
I think it's a scary game for sure. I just don't know that Penn State wins.
Yeah, no. don't think so either.
Yeah, Jahan, as much as we talk about Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jahan Dotson, he led the entire Big Ten in receiving yards and touchdowns last year. Could have went to the NFL and didn't.
He wanted to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
Honestly, we saw what happened with Sean Wade.
Go get that money, man. Always go get that money.
Every chance that you get.
I get the NFL organization don't really care about you because it's a business, but at least you're getting your money. That school really don't care about you, even if you are getting money now. It's getting money because your name, not because of the school. So
yeah. And so, you know, they lost their top two running backs last year. But we talk about a lot of these teams having some young players who played early.
Yeah.
Well, they had some good running backs last year, and they get their starter back. So they have three running backs who could play on a lot of rosters.
Yeah.
Penn State has a lot. They do.
I could see why if people were high on Penn State more than they were Iowa. But I guess it's Iowa.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I'm excited. That game too, that the Indiana-Iowa game, I'm actually very excited to watch. It's going to be hard to stay up for. Now, if it turns into a blow, either way, I promise you I'm going to sleep.
Taking that nap?
Yeah.
I hear you. So, okay. So, let's wrap it up. What, again, is a good game? What do the coaches, players, and fans want to see from both teams, win or lose? Because someone has to lose the game. So, you know, what could happen in a loss or win that both teams are happy about?
I'm going to go with Wisconsin winning. You got to win, and you got to win soundly just to move up in rankings and give at least look formidable to eventually face Ohio State. And with Penn State, I'd have to say, and it's gonna sound like I'm just repeating myself, but you gotta make it a dogfight for real. You cannot get blown out. And honestly, you have to live up to this early hype. You gotta really live up to this early hype because you do have a lot of talent, and you got the guy you wanted at offensive coordinator and everything. So you got to live up to this, and you can't get blown out. Whereas Wisconsin, if you're a Wisconsin fan, to be happy, you got to blow this team out.
You got to blow them out?
Yeah.
You don't think you're happy with just a win?
No, because I feel like you have to make a statement win against a ranked Big Ten school. Like Ohio State. So now if Ohio State saw Penn State, right, this early and Penn State was still ranked, you would want them to blow them out, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So
okay.
Wisconsin has to blow them out.
So what do you think a close game does for the confidence of Wisconsin and Wisconsin fans?
It doesn't shake your confidence, but you're wondering at what point we get the offensive explosion to start blowing out teams. You don't want to always be in a close game because once you have to go against Ohio State, they not gonna keep it close.
No, I think I agree with that, especially in the interest of, like you're saying, they want to beat Ohio State, like you know. I think what I'm looking forward to the most in watching is seeing if Graham Mertz is actually good. Was it lightning in a bottle, or did he have a really good year stopped by COVID and injuries? Mm-hmm. I want to see if Sean Clifford can be an above average quarterback, especially with his third offensive coordinator.
You give that some time. But you're going to want to have to give that a few weeks. Even though you've been there, this again, you're starting all the way over.
But here's the thing. Let me pull this up. They don't have a few weeks. They play Wisconsin and Auburn two out of their first three games. They play Ball State, who they should win, but Ball State is one of the better teams of the MAC. It should be a win.
That's still going to be, again, it's the thing where you were talking about with Kent State. Stop it. Like, no,
but here's the thing. It's not, that is a trap. That is the perfect trap game. You play Wisconsin and then you play Auburn. What do? You overlook the MAC school, who is an above average team.
Not if you lose both of those games. Now you definitely have to take this week to week.
Yeah, but this is in between them.
The Ball State game?
Yeah.
Week two.
And Auburn game is their whiteout game. So everyone's buzzing. It's a home game. It's at night. It's whiteout. Whatever happens with Wisconsin, I'm not predicting Ball State's going to win. I'm just saying Ball State's not Akron. When you play these pay games, because here's the other thing. MAC teams beat Big Ten teams every year.
It's only the really, really good ones. And no, I wouldn't say MAC teams. It's like one MAC team. And I was like,
no. Every single year, there's one or two MAC teams that beat a Big Ten team. Mm-hmm. Now,
when you say that, is it like a team that goes up against like Maryland or Purdue that wins a game?
There have been some MAC teams that have beaten some better. And yeah, and that's the thing. What I'm saying is it's not typically Penn State that loses those games. Mm-hmm. I'm not predicting them to lose. I'm just saying, again, you would rather play Bowling Green than Ball State.
Okay. I that's what I'm saying. I feel like for Northwestern. For Wisconsin, they have to blow this team out just to be like, okay, look, we are the second best, maybe even the best team in the Big Ten. Not Iowa, not Penn State, shit, not even Indiana. It's us.
And they need to do that. But I'm just saying, you said with Penn State, you got to give them a couple weeks. They don't have a couple weeks.
I thought they might.
They play with – and their first – in their first six games, they play Wisconsin, Auburn, Indiana, and Iowa. A couple of weeks could be 2-4.
Yeah. Damn. I'm sorry, Penn State.
So, Penn State, they need to see it. They need to see week one.
Yeah.
Is there going to be an offense? Is Sean Clifford the guy in his third year as the starter? Is Jahan Dotson good? What do their running backs bring back to the team? Like, they don't have a couple of weeks. They need to see it immediately, win or lose. And if they do see it, if they see an offensive production, if this is a 41-38 game or a 37-35 or whatever, I think they're not happy because they want to win, but I think they leave with some confidence that they're moving in the right direction.
And that's where Wisconsin is like, we got to be better. We are better than this. We can't let them score that many points.
It's going to be interesting. So, who do you have? We both have Wisconsin winning.
Yeah.
Rough score prediction.
I do definitely think it's going to be close. I think you had it 40-37, 40-35, something like that.
I could see like a. There's going to be some field goals. I can see like 41-38, 41-31, something like that. So this is going to be fun. This is so fun. So to follow it up with the other big game, with the team we both think is going to be good, and the team that everyone that's not us thinks is going to be really good, Indiana versus Iowa. I really don't know what to say about this game because I'm really starting to question myself. Like, I'm a confident person. I'm pretty confident in my picks. There was a couple of games that I was iffy on, but, you know, when I went through this confident, when we went through all four episodes, there were very few games that I thought I wanted to change, except for that Kent State Iowa one. But now I'm really starting to question, like, am I wrong? Are we wrong? Are we missing something?
We have to have been missing something because
Well, here's the thing. If I take off the Kent State game, which I'm just going to do it because that was just stupid, if I'm being completely honest. That was just dumb. That puts them, for me, that has them at 8-4. That's a solid season. Yeah. But you have them at 6-6.
Yeah.
So what are we missing?
I have no idea. I would love to know. We must have just, I don't know. Maybe we missed some info or something, but I don't know. And I'm really excited for this game. Not only because they're ranked, it's two ranked teams. It's just, I think an Iowa-Indiana game is always pretty good. But, man, I don't know. I think I'm thinking, talking about the second best team in the Big Ten. That's what you're telling me, is that people think that.
Yeah. That like, I'm not lying. I literally, as I pulled up into your parking lot, I was listening to a podcast where people were talking about them being the second best team in the Big Ten.
That's crazy to me. I never even thought. I would have never thought.
I don't know. So, here's my thing. I do think Iowa's going to be good. Ish. I think they're another one that has a tough schedule. But yep. Here's the thing, right? I just need someone to tell me how Iowa wins this game. Penn State has a good defense. So Iowa has never
against Indiana.
You're right. I'm tripping. I flipped in the last time. Yeah. Indiana has a good defense. The crazy thing is I'm looking at the Pick 6 preview for Indiana. Like, everything else was in the right spot, but what came out of my mouth. So, they were the 20th ranked defense in scoring. They only allowed 20 points per game last year. They were 43rd in total defense, but some of that is buffed by some high-scoring offenses. They were 39th in third down conversion, 52nd in yards per play.
Iowa's defense was pretty good last year, too. Is that what they're about? Is that what everybody's?
I mean, I don't know. But here's the thing. If you look at units, right, they both have good defenses, but Indiana should have a better offense.
Yeah.
So if you just put that together, Indiana should win. If you put the math, carry over the one, like.
It's like Penn does. One cancels, yeah, you know, because the defense cancels each other out. And since, you know, one offense is better, I could see that. Because Iowa's offense wasn't that good last year.
No.
It was okay.
It was
okay. It could put up points. But.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. Maybe we're missing something.
We'll see. We'll see this next Saturday. Next Saturday. We'll have to see.
Well, but here's the thing with that too, right? They put up points per game, but they were not a good passing team. Nah. Like, we talked about it. Listen to their passing stats. 96 in passing offense, 98 in yards per attempt, 100 in QB rating, 68 in touchdown to interception ratio, 20th in sacks. So they didn't allow sacks. Cool.
They protect the quarterback. That's good.
But they were 113th in explosive pass percentage, and they bring back 69% of their offensive production. So where do they get better? And then, like, so you can't, you're already,
if you cut all that in half, like if they do half of everything,
but that's a huge jump.
Yeah.
So you can't pass the ball. All you can do is run.
Barely.
Being one-sided against a good defense gets you nowhere.
They don't get many yards. I don't see how they put up that many points. Oh, their defense is giving them short fields.
It had to be. Because I was surprised by their points per game, honestly.
So that might play a part in it, while their offense, maybe the offense, these numbers that we're looking at don't tell the full story.
I don't think I'm willing to say that.
Because if the defense is always giving up short fields, you're not going to put up that many yards.
But they weren't given that many short fields. They were 100 in every category. Not just yard, because you can be efficient. But they were 100 in touchdown to interception ratio. They were 100 in explosive plays. Like, they just were not a good passing offense. And so, fine, we assume that their best thing is rushing. Well, Indiana, 34th in rushing defense, 46th in yards per carry. They didn't get a whole lot of negative plays, and they allowed some explosive rushes. But here's the thing. They were 73rd in explosive rushes, but they only allowed 137 yards per game, which meant
you may get one. You get one.
Exactly. You get one or two big runs, and then the rest, you're getting tackled at the line of scrimmage. You're getting 2-3 yards. So if you can't pass, you can only run, and the best part of their defense is their rushing defense. How do you win?
You play good defense, and you score on defense. That's the only. That's how you win.
The problem with that, though, Michael Penix Jr., second or third best quarterback in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be completely honest. I don't know much about Iowa's quarterback. I don't even know his name. So I don't know if he's going to be good or if people are excited. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe, you know, maybe I don't understand that they have, you know, an up-and-coming quarterback. But I know what Michael Penix Jr. is. I think it's a loss. I think it's a loss for Iowa.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I don't think Iowa's offense is going to be explosive enough to win this game. And that's going to be the downfall. But then, for some, maybe, I don't know, maybe we're wrong about something. Maybe I just didn't watch enough Iowa games.
Maybe. I mean, there has to be something. And, you know, while we're talking, I'm trying to scan the quick pick six previews to see what I'm missing. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I think that they're good enough to beat everyone that they should beat. But I don't think they're good enough to beat the top of the Big Ten, which is Indiana, Wisconsin, Ohio State.
It's because they're coming off last year they came off just a 2-2 lost seasons. To teams they definitely shouldn't have lost to if they was beating Michigan State, Penn State, and Wisconsin.
Like, they lost to Northwestern and Purdue. Losing to Northwestern is fine, but you lost to Purdue.
Yeah.
That's ugly.
But then blew out Penn State, and you blew out Wisconsin last year.
But the Wisconsin one's big. Well, actually, no, hold on. The Wisconsin, that's the other thing with some of their games, right? Mm-hmm. Penn State was going through hell when they played them. Wisconsin was even worse by the time. Wisconsin was half a team. Their team was injured, COVID, their quarterback was out. Mm-hmm. It was the end of the season. Like, it looks good, but it doesn't tell the full story.
Right.
And I think maybe people are looking at their record and saying, oh, they're going to be good. But they're not looking at the fact that they played a Penn State team that wasn't truly Penn State. Right. And they played a Wisconsin team who was hurt, injured, COVID, and just ready to get the season over the last game of the season. And I don't mean to say that to take away from Iowa. They still had to play the games. They went through COVID like everybody else. Like, you get some benefit of the doubt for your schedule. But I just think we're not doing it justice if we don't bring up the fact of the team that they were playing when they beat them.
Yeah.
Especially when you say they blew out Wisconsin.
Like, yeah, okay.
There's a difference between if they blew out Wisconsin this year and if they blow and then blowing out Wisconsin last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're gonna have a rude awakening. It's gonna be an eye opener to start when they start the season and finish all the way through.
But the thing is, they could still have a good season. I have them 8-4. They could easily be 9-3 by doing what they've done for however many years in a row and beating Iowa State.
Yeah.
9-3 is a good year. It's not as good a year as people are predicting, but it's a good
year. They got them losing like one game?
Yeah.
Oh. Or what game would that be, y'all?
I don't know, because they have them beating Wisconsin to get to the Big Ten championship game.
So it would have to be Indiana.
Or Penn State.
Yeah.
Iowa, let's see. What is the current win streak? The current win streak is 1, 2, 5 games. Six out of the last 7. So if they keep their winning streak up, and these games haven't really, well, some of them have been close, actually. More recently, they've been close. But if they keep their winning streak up, they're easily 9-3. I have them 8-4 once I corrected the Kent State mistake, because I think they lose to Iowa State. They lose to Iowa State, they're 0-2. That's the other thing. It's like, you have to look at when the schedules happen. Their first 2 games are Indiana and Iowa State.
Yeah.
That's another one. What did they do to the football gods? Like, that's not right. That's not right. So, let's get into it. What is a good game? What's a good game? Who wins? What do you need to see? What do the fans need to see to leave this game happy, win or lose, for Iowa and Indiana?
I need to see what all the fuss is about. Well, I don't care what everybody else needs to see. That's what I need to see, because I want to know what all I want to know what all the hubbubaloo is. And I'm definitely showing my age by saying hubbubaloo. But
if Iowa State gets, if Iowa gets blown out, which I think is impossible.
Yeah,
Penn State could win this game by 17.
Indiana, sir.
Indiana could win this game by 17.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely, and I think we both have Indiana winning this game, but yeah, I don't even know what Iowa, I guess Iowa fans also have to see them live up to this hype and win this game, because it's like, I don't get it.
I don't know where the hype's coming from.
To be the second best? You mean, dude, really? I don't think I. When's the last time Iowa was in the Big Ten championship game?
It should have been within the last 5 years. Was it within the last 5 years? No, because the last 5 years may have only been Northwestern and Wisconsin. Time to Google. That's why we have these wonderful machines.
2015.
I was close.
Michigan State defeated Iowa to win the Big Ten championship.
That was that year.
Yeah. 16-13. Ooh.
That's really, that was just such a bad game.
2015 was the last time.
I was close. I said 5 years. It was 6 years. Mm-hmm. But that was also the first time in a while. Yeah. Well, oh, I'm sorry. The Big Ten championship game hasn't been around that long. They've only been once in the creation of the Big Ten championship game. So where's the hype, Dante? Please tell me.
I don't know. I got them going worse than you got them.
If you are listening to this, and we know you are, and we appreciate you, thank you. Who, if you're listening to this and you think we're wrong about Iowa, can you please tell us? Like, educate us. Like, I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to yell at you.
Yeah, I just want to know.
None of that kind of stuff. I just want to know, like, what don't we know, right? Like, what are we missing that other people see in Iowa? Because, like Dante said, I'm going to be watching this game, and I want to see it.
I want to see it. I want to see it.
Because I think this could be a blowout. Like, I could see – I could see this being 21-38, 34-17. Like, I could see, like, 17, I don't know why, it just clicked. Like, 17's the magic number. I think Penn State.
You did it again.
It's time to go. Let's wrap this up. I think Indiana wins by 17. Okay, yeah. So let's. Let's just run. Oh, what is your score? What's your score?
I ain't even thought about that. I think Indiana puts up 40. Close to 40, maybe. I'll say 37. I say 37-17.
Hold on. Let me do math. 28, 21. Okay, never mind. I had to do the math of how you get to 37, mm-hmm. but it's 4 touchdowns, 3 field goals.
Yeah, you could get.
I mean, forget it. Football math is weird sometimes. Like 37 sets a weird number, but that's like, that's a game. That's like a score you can really get.
And it's happened several times. Like,
yeah. Okay. So as we wrap it up, the rest of the games, and as far as structure, just so you all know, this is going to be a similar structure. We're going to pick a couple of games to highlight. We probably won't pick as many in the future because we're also going to do recaps, once we actually have some football to recap. But the rest of the games that are on, we have Nebraska versus Fordham, Michigan versus Michigan State.
No, Western Michigan versus Michigan. Michigan State goes against Northwestern again. He can't read, guys. We went to Kent.
Can't read, can't write, Kent State. Okay, let me start over. Nebraska versus Fordham, Michigan versus Western Michigan, Maryland versus West Virginia, Purdue versus Oregon State, Illinois versus UTSA.
That sounds UTSA sounds just like an airline.
Yeah. We also have Rutgers versus Temple on Thursday.
Oh yeah, at 6:30.
Yep. So that's
on the Big Ten Network.
Yeah, that's the full slate of games. I think there's some good games. We obviously can't talk about them all. Me and Dante talk a lot. If we tried to touch on every game, we'd be here for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And maybe some of you.
I mean, we wouldn't talk about that UTSA game. Maybe or the Nebraska one, actually.
Yeah. Maybe some of y'all would listen to us for 3 hours, but I think Land Grant Holy Land would politely ask us to stop recording if all of our episodes were 3 hours. Like, there's no reason for y'all to be talking that much.
They'd definitely be here the next time with the wrap it up box. Hey, yo, chill.
Okay, so as always, when you're traveling with us, we do our weekly pit stops. Pit stops, when you're traveling, the road trips, you always have to stop, take a break, change course, look at your map, whatever's going on. So our pit stops, we like to focus on things that aren't the Big Ten. Most of them are going to be sports, but some of them aren't. Last week, we talked about gaming. We hope you enjoy that. Speaking of gaming, Dante had the greatest tweet of all time. Like, that video game needs to be in production.
Oh, the Assassin's Creed one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's actually a dope idea after I kind of, like, reread what I said.
No, that video game needs to be in production.
Yeah, no. I just to put it out there, I thought of a good idea because, all right, so Fortnite is doing, like, some type of MLK tribute thing where you reenact the March on Washington, listen to his speech, and then go to a museum and do civil rights challenges. I have no idea what they mean by that, but that's what they said. So my idea was for Ubisoft to make a Assassin's Creed, but you're Harriet Tubman, and you're freeing slaves and either bringing them to be free and they do whatever they want, or they join the Assassin's Creed and go out and free more slaves. So it'd be like kind of like the it'd be like an Origins with Brotherhood or Unity. I think it was Unity where you could recruit people. So that was my idea. And as I kept thinking about it, I was like, that game sounds dope.
No, that game sounds fire. That's not my pit stop. I just had to bring it up.
Yeah.
So my pit stop is the redemption of black quarterbacks in the NFL. A lot of times with quarterbacks in general, but especially sometimes with black quarterbacks, you get your chance, you get your couple of seasons to play, and then if you're not good, they throw you to the side. Yeah. Well, this year in particular, we have 3 quarterbacks getting a second chance. One of them is getting a third chance. So Jameis Winston, I must state, I am the president of the Jameis Winston's Club because I think he's a good quarterback. He had his LASIK eye surgery. He was playing for a coach who literally every single quarterback who played starts with him,
their first year,
their most interceptions of their career.
Yep.
Like Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Even, I mean, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, Tom Brady settled down, but those first couple of weeks.
He was on his way.
He was definitely on his way. He was throwing interceptions. So I think Jameis got a lot of blame. Obviously, it worked for the Bucs because they got Tom Brady and they won a Super Bowl. Fine. But the fact that nobody wanted Jameis and he had to basically go to the Saints and be the third string quarterback was super disrespectful to me. So Drew Brees retires. When he gets injured last year, they barely play him and they play their tight end, fullback, whatever, as quarterback throughout the regular season. Really, in my opinion, because Sean Payton was trying to be a smartass and like feeling himself too much and like I can coach with any quarterback.
I can create a quarterback, really.
Honestly. But it hasn't been decided yet. But anyone who's watched.
Yes, it has.
Did they decide it?
I think they did yesterday.
So maybe I missed it. I didn't think it had been decided yet. But anyone who's watched the preseason, anyone who has half a lick of sense, has any common sense, knew that Jameis was going to win this job. The thing is, the Saints, in my opinion, is one of the best places for Jameis. And I think he's going to have a ridiculous redemption arch. Like,
oh, no, you're right. Actually, you're right. It hasn't been selected yet. He just looks
significantly. He looks really good.
He looks better. He looks better than Taysom Hill, who didn't look that bad. But it's just there's throws. There's throws Jameis make that you know Taysom just can't.
There's throws Jameis makes that only two other quarterbacks in the league can make. Jameis is very talented.
Mm-hmm.
And he's aggressive.
On my team.
The problem with Jameis is he's aggressive. Mm-hmm. You can't put an aggressive quarterback in an aggressive offense and then be mad that he throws interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
You can put an aggressive quarterback in a measured offense because then he's going to take it over the top. He's going to be aggressive within a system.
Yep.
And that's what he's going to do for the Saints. I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah. I also think because you have more than just him here. I think Teddy is going to be really good for Denver. Yeah. We were talking about it earlier. I couldn't believe there was a quarterback competition. That blew my mind. But I think Teddy's going to be good for them, especially since Teddy now. Because in Carolina, he didn't have Christian. But yeah. Now he has two. He got two running backs.
He got judged off of 1 year, year where all the team was injured.
Yeah.
And
it's the same thing that's happening with Cam because everybody was like low on Cam, but it was like he was barely there because he was either sick or injured, and it was a weird season.
Right.
So
COVID, surprise, surprise, COVID hit the NFL too.
He caught it.
Literally. So Teddy was the second one. I think, and here's the thing. We saw Peyton Manning win a Super Bowl in Denver by doing absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Now, Denver's defense isn't as good as it was with Peyton Manning, but it's not far off.
And last year, also with that problem, Von Miller had a season-ending injury before the season started. So, he's supposed to be back. So.
Von Miller's back. Bradley Chubb is back and a year older. They have Justin Simmons. Yep. They have Patrick Surtain Jr.
Yep.
Or maybe it's the second.
I think. I don't know. But I like Patrick.
He's good. I can't remember the other two corners they have. But they have two really good corners as well. Like, their defense is going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. So you just need a quarterback who's not going to throw the ball away. Who's not going to put the receivers in bad positions. And can basically play point guard. Teddy, people forget how good Teddy was before he got injured.
Yeah, he was leading Minnesota.
Yeah, and he just had such a crazy injury that it took a while. But here's the thing. Can Teddy Bridgewater be Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah. But mobile. But yeah.
But better. So I'm not predicting it because there's a lot of good teams. But if their defense is what it's supposed to be, the Broncos could easily be in the AFC Championship game. With that defense and a competent quarterback?
Easily? I don't know about easily because you still have Buffalo. You still have – you just brought up to Ryan Tannehill. You still have Tennessee maybe.
They'll beat Tennessee.
You still have Cleveland.
Fine. I will take away easily.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna still say, and there's still a chance you have to come up against the Steelers. That's not going to be an easy game for them.
But they don't have a top three defense in the league. And that matters in playoffs football.
Let me think. 49ers, Baltimore, Buccaneers.
They'll have a defense better than all of them.
Whoa, no, no, no. Not San Fran or Buccaneers. Buccaneers probably got the best defense in the league.
So they'll be second.
I don't think so. 49ers, Cleveland. No. Again, no, Cleveland.
No. No.
Our did the Steelers defense?
No.
I even think your defenses would be better than them.
No. Here's the thing. This is what you're forgetting. They have playmakers on every level.
Okay.
Cleveland has holes. Who? Passing. 49ers has holes.
Yeah.
They don't have holes. Not on their defense. Cleveland, I mean, Jock has looked amazing, but Cleveland has no depth at linebacker, and they have nobody after Denzel Ward.
Yeah. It looks like you could still pass on them.
I mean, you may be able to, but, like, can you name anyone in the 49ers secondary?
No. But I only know one player on the 49ers defense, maybe two.
And the 49ers defense, which I think is going to be good, they also lost their defensive coach because he's the head coach of the Jets.
Mm. Oh, that's going to be hilarious.
I mean, so they have Von Miller, Bradley Chubb. They have Kyle Fuller, Ronald Darby, Justin Simmons, Pat Surtain the second is their third corner.
Oh, man.
He would be a starting cornerback. Dallas would sell their soul to have Patrick Surtain.
Need somebody like that.
So, like, Justin, like,
Dallas gets somebody like that, they win their division with 7 wins.
And that's who they wanted. He just wasn't there.
Yeah.
So, they're going to be good. And Teddy Bridgewater is going to do enough. The last one is your team. He's not a starter, so we don't have to stay on this. But Dwayne Haskins, I'm just glad he got a second chance. And I think the place of anywhere he's going to be successful is Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, he's under the perfect coach for him.
And the perfect quarterback because he plays like Big Ben.
Yeah.
Perfect quarterback, perfect coach, perfect system, good defense. He doesn't have to do too much.
Really, it's the perfect organization for someone like that.
Yep, especially for a young player who don't always have his head straight.
Yeah.
So, and there's nothing to do in Pittsburgh, so he can't get in trouble.
And getting the second position and possibly starting after Ben leaves is right on the table because it's not like Josh Dobbs or Mason Rudolph has run away with like being the starting quarterback after Ben leaves. So it's there. It's there for him to take.
I mean, the situation he's in is exactly why Jameis went to the Saints.
Yep.
If you win the second job, you're guaranteed to start within a year or two, most likely, unless they pull a Tom Brady. Jameis has been with the Saints 2 years. Drew Brees retires. I'm not saying that Ben is going to retire this year, but he could be on the roster for 2 years and then be the starting quarterback his fourth season in the league.
Yeah.
You can't beat that.
With a team that'll have a
really good player.
Yeah, still have really good players, still have really
Minka
good
players. Minka Fitzpatrick will be good.
Yeah, he'll be a little older, but he'll still be there.
Claypool will be in his fifth year.
Yeah, and they'll bring in someone. Najee Harris will only be in his third year.
Like, come on. So, I just wanted to give a shout out to them for being able to fight, stick through the adversity in their career, get a second chance, and I think that they all have a chance of being successful at their places.
Yeah.
So, what's your pit stop?
My pit stop is the Big Ten, ACC. Who was that, 13? Not 13, third conference.
Pac-12.
Possibly joining forces so they could pretty much just fight the SEC. It's really what it is.
Did you see the video that had them as the Avengers. Yeah. That was hilarious, especially because Clemson was Captain America.
Yeah. It's just kind of hilarious. Because that was weird to me, because I thought if they were going to do that video, because I did see that video, you would just start off with Ohio State, because I think Ohio State's the better team, the more known team. Like, because Clemson had Trevor Lawrence in Houston's quarterback.
Oh, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. And one receiver, whereas Ohio State has had name after name after name after name. I just thought you start off a video like that, because that's why it took me a while before I finally opened it. Even though I knew where it was going, it took me a minute because I saw Clemson and was like, I don't care. Like, you can't start off with Clemson in my
But life. Clemson being Captain America is perfect.
It was hilarious.
It is so perfect.
It was hilarious. I like the idea because it did seem like the SEC was trying to take a chokehold on the playoffs and the expansion.
They were. Them and ESPN together.
Yeah. But so it was smart. I also like it because it's like get rid of it. It ruins the NCAA.
And that's one thing that I was saying that I think a lot of people were forgetting. You know, everyone's like, what are the immediate results? When are we going to see the games? Why there's no contract, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But this is essentially just three of the four biggest conferences saying we're going to stick together for governance, because there is no governance because the NCAA doesn't exist right now.
Yeah.
You can't join. It would be perfect if you could get all four, but the SEC already flipped the bird to everybody and said they were doing their own thing. So who's left? You're not going to bring in the Big Eight, the leftover eight. You're not going to bring in the group of five. Yeah. Maybe you do later, but in the beginning you don't, because you have different governance issues. And as much as they want to sit at the big kids' table, they're not there.
Yeah.
So this is, like you said, it's them agreeing that we are going to work shared governance. We're going to keep collegiate football. And on the things that matter to all of us, we're at least going to talk about it. They didn't say that they're going to agree on everything and they're going to vote the same on everything, but they're at least going to talk about it. They're at least going to come to the table. Yeah. They're not going to do what the SEC did and go rogue and just, you know, do whatever they want to.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, because it's going to be a talking point and a thing for probably the next 5 years. So it's going to be exciting to see. And I'm ready to see the downfall of the NCAA. And this would be the kickstart, really.
This is the kick in the face. It's already been kickstarted. But this is like the step on them. This is twisting the knife. Yeah. The knife is already in there, and then it just twisted a little bit.
It's putting salt to the wound. Kicking them while they're down. I got all of them.
So I think the alliance is good.
SEC versus everybody.
Honestly. I think the alliance is cool. I like that you said for the next 5 years, because I don't think we really see the extent of this for 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, it's going to be even if it happens, is the craziest thing.
Yeah.
So it's gonna take at least that long for something to even happen. But it's going to be talked about for a minute. We're going to forget about it for about 2 years, and then it's going to be brought up again.
Yep. Which is how a lot of this stuff works.
Yep.
Because it's just not stuff to talk about daily. And as we've already talked about this entire time, it's football season.
Yep.
I don't want to hear nothing about any of this stuff until football season's over. Yep. That's not going to happen, but, like, I could do without.
Yeah. Let's just have a nice – regular, not regular, but at least season wise, just have it be the right length, right amount of games. Just have every game happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So with that, I think that's our show. By the time this drops, you will have watched week zero games, and you will be inching closer to week one of college football. If that's not the best thing you've ever heard, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you.
You don't like football.
You don't.
And, then I'm confused as to why you're here. I'm glad you're here, but
thank you. I'm confused.
Yeah.
Dante, where can they follow you on social media?
They can follow me at DanteM10216. You know, the very long, weird at name that I get wrong almost every time I say it.
Every single trip. So thank you all for traveling I-70 with us this week. If you enjoyed the episode, leave us a 5-star review. Definitely mention Dante and I. You can follow me on Twitter at JordanW330. Also, brand new, I will also be writing an article weekly. It's essentially just it's a Big Ten article where I just give 10 to 14 thoughts on the slate to kind of match up with what we talk about on the football show. So if you like the Big Ten and you want to hear my random thoughts of the games that we watch, you can follow that. The LGHL feed is going to have a ridiculous amount of podcasts, articles, film reviews, anything that you want for Ohio State football and the Big Ten. And it's free. There's no paywall. You just get this anytime that you want it. So
I like free.
That's what I'm saying. So link up with us. Appreciate you listening. And have a good one.
See you.